Honor and the privilege to introduce our next speaker, amen. In ministry, you don't get to really have a lot of time to have friends in ministry and co-laborers. But I can honestly say this gentleman is a co-laborer with me, and I've been knowing him for about 20, 21 years now. I call him the dog whisperer. Caesar Milan ain't got nothing on him, right? And it was once said that pastors go to Milwaukee to die. And I've seen many pastors come in this city. But one thing I can say, I know he's a man of faith, because I remember the little small building that he started in. Then one of my favorite buildings was the funeral home. And down in the basement, it was a crematory. I was like, so you know what you can do here, right? Whoever acts up, even the leadership, bring them down here, show it, and turn the fire on. And tell them if you don't act right, this is where people come to die. Right? But he's been saved for 26 years, been married for 24. He's got three beautiful children. He's been pastoring in this church. So he broke the mold. He broke the curse. He's been here for 20 years. Faithful to God. And I remember when he would come to the church for the regionals, he was always, hey, why do y'all do this? Why are we doing that? Why is this? And he was always like a sponge, open, teachable, asking questions. And now I see the end result of him believing what God was capable of doing and know what God can do. But he's also our Great Lakes prayer overseer. So it's not by chance or coincidence we've been doing this for 9 years. It's because he believes that men and women, once they get a hold of God, God will do something great in their life. So come on, let's give Pastor Charlie Rayner, the senior pastor of Victory Outreach Milwaukee, a great hand.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. As you remain standing, as we do a worship song, praise the Lord. To raise our hands,
Lord,
here this
we
evening.
Lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name.
Father, in this beautiful afternoon, we lift our hands unto you. We know you're the source, the foundation, the word here this day. And I pray that you open the heart and the minds of your men and women and the young adults that are here this day, Lord, and that you allow the signs and wonders and miracles to accompany your word as it goes forth here this day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here on this beautiful afternoon, amen. Are you excited? Praise the Lord. You may have your seats here this afternoon. So excited for all that the Lord has done, doing, and going to do. I want to first thank the Lord for my salvation of 26 years. He has transformed my life. He has kept my life. And he's the real deal. That's why all the speakers are, we're really pushing prayer. Amen. That allows God to become the real deal. I want to thank Pastor Nick and Sister Myra from my heart here this day. That mean a lot to me. Mean a lot. It's the order. It's the order of God. And I always want God to use me at my best. And I know I got to come within the flow and the order of our ministry. Amen. That God is all upon, all around the world right now in over 33 countries. So Pastor Nick shared on having a personal relationship with the Lord, something we do. Pastor Felipe shared on having a building a prevailing life. Amen. Something we do. And tonight I'm going to be speaking on, amen, how God answers prayer, what he does. What he does. Amen. So I'm just honored for all the churches coming together. The praise and worship team, you've done fantastic. Let's give them a good clap offering. Amen. The leadership of our church, I thank you. And all the leaderships from all the churches have come together to allow this afternoon, this weekend to be possible. Amen. As we get into the word of the Lord here this day, I'm going to be preaching hard. I'm going to be hitting a lot of scriptures. And then we're going to allow God to do what he does best. Amen. In Romans chapter 15, verse 16. This is Paul speaking. That's the wrong scripture, so we're just gonna. It's the wrong one, guys. But I got the right one here. 15:16, please. 15:16. That's still not the. That's the. Romans chapter 15:16. It's saying Romans 15, 16 is there. Let's go. To be, there we go. To be a minister of Christ, Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God. It's in the NIV, that's why. NLT, please. There we go. Paul speaking. I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God made holy by the Holy Spirit. Here, Paul calls himself a special messenger. I want to put the IST on it. He was a specialist messenger. And there was a few things and qualities that allowed him to become that specialist messenger of God. Paul was a specialist messenger from Jesus. Scripture tells us to the Gentiles, the message, the good news. And the purpose was to win the lost and the bound and to build churches. Currently, locally, within the region, internationally, we're looking for specialists. And I agree. Internationally, right now, specialists are being looked for right now, and bringing together the bases that are around the world right now and still growing. We might have different gifts, assignments, but at the end of the day, we all got to become specialists in the area of prayer. I agree with the specialist. I want all that in our church as well. And I'm sure every pastor represented here this day wants specialists, people that are good at what they're doing there within the service. But I want to get us to a place where we all become specialists in the area of prayer, in the area of getting a hold of God. It's not just for the pastors, the leadership, but it's for everyone. The single mother, amen, with children right now. And God, the heavens are open right now that we can go straight to Him. And I pray by the end of this evening that we would all walk out with an idea that I can be a specialist, man of God of prayer, woman of God of prayer, a specialist that knows how to get a hold of God, not only in the good times, but a specialist that knows how to get a hold of God even in the hard times. I want to make very clear this day that the early church gave birth through prayer. And I'm going to be speaking about the upper room here today. Our ministry, Victory Outreach International, also gave birth through prayer. Tells us the end time church, the third wave, will also have to give birth through prayer. We're in the book of Acts still right now. And what worked for the early church, what worked for our founders and the elders, amen, is going to work for us. This is the way God is still doing business. I pray that all of us listen here this day, that we can get convicted to the place of spending time with the Lord. In the book of Acts, I want to share three ways God answers prayer here this day. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, very, very familiar portions of Scripture, but I still want everybody really, really listening that you may be able to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to get to you here this day. And the Bible says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, such as today. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. The Bible here tells us that there was a sound. Amen. Goes on to say, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other language as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem where this all went down. Amen? When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Those that were onlooking, the Bible says that they were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaim. These people are all from Galilee. And yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. We find out in 6 and 7 that There was a noise. There was a sound. The NIV says that it was like a blowing of a violent wind. The NLT records it was a sound of a roaring mighty windstorm. Amen. As we give a quick little video clip, 7-8 seconds worth. It was a sound. It was a sound. And just like you saw the tornado there, you heard the tornado, but there was no devastation of and destruction from the tornado. It was just a sound. And the Bible says that all of Jerusalem all heard that sound. It had to be loud. It had to be loud. That all of them heard that sound. And I believe there was some hood in Jerusalem at the time. There was some VO people at the time of that everybody. But the Bible records in verse 5 that there was devout Jews there, men of God, that there was a festival taking place. And they were all there while there was an upper room taking place with 120 people calling out to God. In obedience to the Lord, the Bible says that they all came running. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would run to a sound like that or run away from a sound like that. But there was something about the sound that it should have scared all of them, but instead the exact opposite took place. This sound that sounded like a violent wind drew all of Jerusalem to where it was going down in the upper room at that house with the 120 that were in prayer. A sound took place. Verse 2 says, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. In other words, it was just the sound without the destruction. I believe there's a certain sound that God gives a praying man, a praying woman, a praying young adult here this day. As shepherds, as pastors, we hear when the flock comes and talks to us. And we're able to discern that certain sound is within that man's life, that woman's life, that young adult's life. There's a sound. The sound of a man of God, a prayer, a woman of God, a prayer, a young adult, a prayer has influence. It draws. And on this particular day, at the birth of the early church, there was a sound. The Bible clearly says there was a loud, violent sound of winds violently blowing that influenced all of Jerusalem, even all the devout Jews that were there in verse 5. The NIV says the God-fearing Jews that were present. Everybody was drawn to the house of prayer. Of what was taking place upstairs. And the Bible records that they were completely amazed. Verse 7 says, that they were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaim, these people are all from Galilee. Those that were on the outside were completely amazed. Completely amazed by what was taking place on the outside of the upper room of prayer. Can you imagine what was taking place in the house in the upper room? You see, a lot of times we take for granted what's taking place right now in the room. And we miss it. If those that were on the outside were completely amazed, can you imagine what was taking place with the 120 in the upper room? 120 people were up there. They all got filled. They all received the promise of God. The mother of Jesus was there. The brothers of Jesus were there. And the Bible records that all of them were empowered. Can you imagine with that wind sound taking place, being in that upper room, and God comes down? See, there's a sound. The presence of the Lord has a sound. On Friday night, I was so nervous, I was not even preaching. But there was a blowing in my spirit. There was a roaring in my spirit that God was going to do something great, something big this weekend. Everyone needs to come to a place to experience the sound, to be able to hear the presence of the Lord, to be able to hear even when he moves in a still voice. And prayer is one of those attributes that each and every one of us need to be able to hear the sound for ourselves, to be able to hear the sound for others. I've been praying and praying and praying. Somebody asked me, Pastor, did you pray? I said, man, I'm almost floating right now. Because I want God to speak. I want God ideas. I want it done God's way, which always represents not our way. Can you imagine what was taking place on the inside? Because on the outside, all of them were completely amazed. Something powerful was taking place. And then you had those that said they're drunk, and Peter said, no, it's too early for all that. Right. And when somebody's drunk, they can't even talk in their own language, more than somebody else's native language. Are those that are looking at your life completely amazed with what God has done in and through your life? Before my mom and dad went to be with the Lord, every time I visited them in Texas, they would just scratch their head. They look like monkeys. They would just do this. And how did this happen? They were completely amazed every time I would go and visit them. You see, there's a sound, there's a look that God gives a man that prays, a woman that prays, a young adult that prays, that allows others that are looking at your life and my life to be influenced, because there's a sound, there's a move behind a man of prayer or a woman of prayer. There's a move that takes place that starts drawing others to want to duplicate your life. What do people see when they see your life? I'm 26 years later, still amazed what God has done in and through my life. 26 years later, I'm still completely amazed as I get with God and scratch my head and say, how did he ever pull this one off? Completely amazed. What keeps me preaching here in VO Milwaukee is that if God did it for me, he can do it for anybody. I'm still completely amazed with my own life, When I get to that place of prayer, that place of brokenness, and he takes me back to the full place sinner I was, the dope fiend I was, all the years in prison, all the ODs, and he, through his grace and mercy and presence and through a sound, he takes me back to who I used to be when nobody wanted me. There's a sound. There's a sound right now as I'm speaking to you. A sound. And if you can't hear the sound, get a praying life and you will be able to experience what the ministers are trying to get across to the churches around the Great Lakes region. There's a sound. When everything is going wrong, and it's just not the sound of a wind, but the effects of the wind are coming off, there's a sound to stay in the eye of the storm, which is prayer. There's a sound. Prayer allows what God has to offer to be greater than what the world has to offer. You want to be sold out in Jesus, we got to start praying. In other words, if you ain't praying, what the world has to offer is going to be greater. Now, when we put them on the scale, is God greater or is the world greater? Prayer is so needed. The Bible says there in verse 2 that they were all sitting there when it took place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. In my notes here, I have too many wanting to walk with Jesus without sitting with Jesus first. We want what God has to offer. We see the man of God. We see the woman of God. We see that God is real. God is good. And we want to walk with God. But are we sitting with God? Are we spending time with God? Are we spending time? I can say that I spend time with God every day for hours and hours and hours. And I'm not bragging. I'm testifying here this day. When God gets a hold of a man, you're going to want to pray. You want the church to grow, you're going to have to pray. You want the miraculous, you're going to have to learn how to pray. And I can testify here this day that I pray so I can expect God to do whatever he wants to do. The first point that says that they were completely amazed. The second one is I want to speak about is that prayer breaks all cultural barriers. Acts 2:5 says, at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. It says that all ran to the house. Amen. In verses from 9 through 11, it says that it gives you like 15 of them. 15 of them long names that I care not to try to pronounce right now. From every nation. Our ministry is currently in over 33 countries with men, women, and young adults answering the call of God in their own native languages. I can clearly now understand, not fully, but to a place to pray more effectively, I can clearly now understand why our founder, Pastor Sonny Argazzoni, the apostle, says we need to be mega-minded. Not big-headed, mega-minded. And to become godly mega-minded, it's going to take prayer. Because we serve a big God. We serve a big God. Pastor Sonny flies the world and is constantly reminded on how big God is. I believe in his time of prayer, God takes them all 55 years back to the very humble beginning of our ministry. when there was nothing but prayer, nothing but God, no specialists. But it all started in a room sitting with God, holding on to a few scriptures in prayer. I have a point here. It says it don't take many to save many. We know that there was 120 people in the upper room when God would use the now new empowered Peter to come out and win 3,000 over. 120, one man spoke, 3,000 were birthed to the early church. It doesn't take many to win many. But that sound that comes from heaven when we communicate with heaven and God needs to be within our lives. From simply 120 praying and believing, the promise of the Holy Ghost comes down and 3,000 were won to the church from the few that were in the upper room. Pastor signing a few drug addicts in East L.A. would give birth to a congregation over 3,000 people. The same parallel with the book of Acts. Our founder did what Peter did. And he's doing all around the world right now. Because he heard from God. He wasn't looking at the few drug addicts. He was praying to God. It don't take many chairs either to save many. In this particular upper room, the capacity was 120 chairs. That would be like this section right here. Those 120 chairs were there. It doesn't take many to save many. We're all around the world now. It don't take many chairs either. 120 was the seating capacity in the upper room when the early church gave birth. No big building, no lights, no specialists, but God simply answering prayer in a building of a capacity of 120 people in chairs. I want to speak on my third point here this day. And that's prayer will endorse you by God. Prayer will endorse you by God. In the book of Acts, still within the same chapter 22 and 24, Peter gets to talking. He's talking good now. He's empowered. He says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited. That's it. Give me the NLT, please. People of Israel, listen to God. God publicly endorsed Jesus, the Nazarene, by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed with the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed them to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. The Bible records Peter speaking that God was the one that endorsed Jesus. And it wasn't when he would just go and be by himself with God. It was publicly. God endorsed him through the signs and the wonders that he performed. And you would think they would have loved him and took care of him. But God, being sovereign and all-knowing, knew what was going to take place. So before everything took place, God already had a prearranged plan to counter the work of the enemy, according to what the Bible says. How many also know that God endorsed our founders? Not man. Publicly, he has endorsed our founders. We're all around the world. As it was said Friday night, not just all around the world, but with the type of people. God has radically saved that are all around the world right now. Our founders have been endorsed by God and God alone. That's a good time to give the Lord a good clap offering right there. The call of God is not a Nike endorsement I put here. I just do it Nike endorsement. God endorsing your life and my life will bring opposition. That's why when I speak strong, because we're in a battle right now. Ready to get down at any turn, at any corner, at any time. Verse 23 says, but God knew what would happen, and he prearranged a plan that was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. What sent forth the plan of God into motion? When Jesus was betrayed. Amen? That's when the clock started ticking. What wasn't looking too good at the time for Jesus in the garden. All of a sudden, the plan of God that was prearranged for his son, for your life, my life. There's no Facebook here today or nothing. It's us in the room. Bible records that the prearranged plan of God was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. Where did the betrayal take place? In the garden, after coming out of what? Prayer. Sometimes we think prayer don't work. Jesus at this time, not only being full God, but full man, asked God the Father 3 times, can we do this some other way? And God didn't come down and back up his son, because God already had a prearranged plan that the full man part of Jesus couldn't see. The full man part of Jesus could not see the prearranged plan of the Father. And if Jesus couldn't see the prearranged plan of the Father that had it all taken care of, the enemy also couldn't see the prearranged plan of the Father. So what looked like favor, advantage, Satan in the garden coming out of prayer, God was just peeping game and said, wait, just wait. Jesus, son, just keep stepping. Keep going forward. Keep stepping. Keep stepping. I got this one. There's some battles that belong to the Lord. Scripture tells us if the enemy would have known that the victory was going to come off the cross, they would have never even thought of taking Jesus out. But it was too late. The prearranged plan of the Father. The kiss came from one of his very own. And if it wasn't bad enough yet, Jesus, not my will, but thy will, was in his heart. He was in prayer. And even when the rest went to sleep, he still got a hold of the Father. See, there's times in your life, in my life, where we can't see the plan of God. We can't even see the prearranged plan of God. And we walk around like we're defeated. And that's why it's so important to stay in prayer. You got to know that you're covered here this day by God Almighty. You got to know that. And what brings the covering of God Almighty is having a praying life. That even if it don't work out, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. In football, when there's a few seconds left, it's called a Hail Mary pass. And the quarterback's got to scramble for a long time to give him time to go downfield, to put the ball in the air. And a few connect. I've been in so many Hail Mary catches from the Lord. Oh my God. I should have lost 1,000 times over and over. But I kept getting to the place of prayer. God, you said. You did it for Paul. You did it for Peter. You did it in the upper room. You did it for our founder. You did it for our lead, great leaders. You can do it for me. God's got me out of big jams. And I'm currently in a big one right now that I haven't even told Pastor Nick about. I'm in a big jam right now where I need God to come through. There's a lot that goes on with this building. I'm in a big jam right now, but God's been so faithful. I've been here before and over. And over and over. And as I got this scripture in my spirit, I said, okay, God, is this part of the prearranged plan also? And Jesus saying, not my will, but thy will be done. In his obedience, it also would come with the cross and death. I have a question here this day. What could you be going through right now that you see as negative, heavy upon your life right now, that's simply God arranging the prearranged plan of breakthrough for your life? I want a window to open right now to see the way God works. He did that with his own very son. Jesus didn't even know what time it was. And he was dripping drops of blood in the time of prayer for his life, the will upon his life, the call upon his life. What could you be going through right now that looks like a dead end, that looks like it's never going to change? That looks like the enemy has the upper hand. That looks like God got me out of that jam, but this one ain't going to happen. This is a bigger, bigger jam. My answer to you is stay in prayer. Stay in prayer. Stay obedient to the call upon your life. If God was able to do his best in our worst of time of salvation, how much more is he willing to do now when we're lined up with him, answering the call of God? What could you be going through right now that you could be rebuking Satan over when it's simply just a prearranged plan of God? It could be simply God putting you in position to carry out His prearranged plan for your life in church. I have a word for the ministers here today. God is endorsing church buildings in the Great Lakes region right now. The many doors that have closed and closed and closed, the enemy did not close those doors. God closed them doors. God is a God that doesn't just open doors, but He closes doors. And every time a door closes on our lives, we think it's the devil. But is God saying this ain't the one? Is God protecting the church, His body? I really believe in my spirit that the ministers here of the Great Lakes region are all praying to purchase buildings. And I believe God is ready to sign. He's ready to endorse your life, each and one of the pastors' life. He's ready to co-sign because He's sovereign. He's able to do that. God is wanting to endorse a man, a woman, a young adult here right now. You're going through it, but you're pressing in, and you're pressing in, and you're pressing in. I love a challenge. I love a challenge. I take on challenge. I teach the leaders, don't challenge me. I love a challenge because I don't take no for an answer. I love to get hit here and there. Because God has been so faithful. I boast on Jesus here this day and what He's able to do. God is wanting to endorse men and women right now. Not by man, through money, but through God. And Peter said it clear, just like God endorsed Jesus publicly. He endorsed our founders publicly around the world. How much greater and bigger and mega is the proof before your eyes and my eyes here this day that God is able in all the other languages of the world. He's able. Barrier breaker. Prayer is a barrier breaker. Amen. Different denominations, it's able to do all things. Prayer seals the deal. I believe the Lord is wanting to seal some deals here this year. And verse 24, the Bible says, all the way, Peter talking heavy and strong. He's empowered now. And he says that, for death could not keep him in its grip. I know that at least 3/4 of us shouldn't be here right now. Like Pastor Nick said, not locked up, but dead. That was a prearranged plan. That saved you, that saved my life. That only God had in His mind, in His planning. The prearranged plan of God is activated. But what activated in His own very Son's life? Betrayal. It's when the clock started ticking on God bringing to pass the plan that He was going to work through His Son. There's a prearranged plan that God is wanting to work through each and every one of our lives. But it's going to come in hard times, tough times. They're sure to come. And that's why we got to have a praying life. That's what got Jesus through. That's what got our founders through. That's what got Peter through. And that's what's going to get us through. Prayer. Prayer. In Acts 4, 28 to 31. The Bible says, "You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. That's not the right scripture. 4:28-31. The Bible reads in verse 28, "But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will." This is further up the road from the upper room experience. "But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats." The opposition is coming now. "And give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." Verse 31, "After this prayer," it wasn't the upper room prayer, "after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness." Prayer is not a one-time ordeal. It's not a once-a-year prayer summit ordeal. God was moving in power, signs, and wonders, and it was sure not only to draw those that needed to be saved, but the enemy, the work of the enemy. And once again, they would come in prayer, and once again, they would have to be filled over and over and over and over. Pastor Felipe spoke about becoming tired. It's the easiest thing to do when you're tired is sit with Jesus. That's the easiest it can get. And usually what's too good to be true is too good to be true. And because it is true and it does work, the enemy don't want nobody praying. The enemy knows what empowers a man, a woman, and a young adult. And as easy as prayer is, many still don't do it. Pastor Nick gave statistics to that on Friday night. You're willing to go sweat in the gym and work out for hours. You're willing to spend all this money on this or that. Get a couple more exercising machines. Because you're feeling a little weak. A little slothful. It's so easy to do, but it's so effective that the works of the enemy is going to come against prayer. Prayer is not a one-time event. It wasn't a one-time upper room event. We need to continue to pray as we go back to our churches and our home. The place that changed my life, God used the church, but the number one place God will use is your home where you live. That's the place where the victory's got to be at. We always say the church is only as strong as the homes are. It's important that you pray at your church for your own life, for your marriage, for your children, because they're watching of what is working for mom and dad. So when they go astray, they'll know how to get back, and the get back is in prayer. How many are ready to shake this meeting place of prayer? We're not done yet. As the worship team kindly please makes their way up. We're living in the end times. I was talking to Pastor Nick the other day, and I'm 59, I'm about to be 60. And I can still rip and run. I can still go, 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 go. But I know I'm getting older. Amen? And as I think about it, it seems like my time is getting shorter and shorter. But what it really is the coming of the Lord is shorter now at hand. So I wasn't really getting older. It was just the coming of the Lord getting shorter and shorter. I really believe with all my heart, we got a glimpse today. There was a sound when we were praying. I heard the roar. I moved out, and then it stopped me in my. I heard the roar. I heard it. I heard the roar today. There was a roar. There was a sound that God was in the house. He's here right now. And He wants to change your life to use your life. Because He knows He's got a prearranged plan for your life. And that nothing can stop the prearranged plan of God. He knows that. The enemy knows that. So we simply need to believe it and do it. As we stand on this great opportunity of time to get to the Lord. So whatever you're going through, I want you to come to the altar and press in. It could just simply be the prearranged plan of the Lord in motion that has started for your breakthrough, for what you've been calling to God about. We're in the book of Acts. Men, women, lives are still being added to the Lamb Book of Life. Whatever it is you're going through, I want to call it the prearranged plan of God that the enemy's not up on, that the enemy thinks he has the victory right now. But he's a deceiver. He's a liar. Let's get a hold of God. His prearranged plan is ticking right now. Advantage us here this day. Whatever the song is. We're going to be going to some more prayer sites.